भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड द सुप्रीम कैरेक्टर ऑफ जड़ भरत टेक्स्ट 16 अथ वृषलराज पणिहि पुरुष पशोर सृगासवेन देवीं भद्रकालीं यक्षमाण स्तद अभिमंतरितं असिम अतिकराल निशितं उपाददे।
एट दिस टाइम वन ऑफ द थीव्स एक्टिंग एज अ चीफ प्रीस्ट वॉज रेडी टू ऑफर द ब्लड ऑफ जड़ भरत whom they imagine to be an animal man, to the goddess Kali to drink as a liquor. He therefore took up a very fearsome sword, which was very sharp, and consecrating it by the mantra of Bhadrakali, raised it to kill Jada Bharat.
There is no purport to this. Text 17.
Iti tesham vrishalanam रजस्तमः प्रकृतीनां धनमद रज उत्सित उत्सिक्त मनसां भगवत कलावीर कुलं कदर्थी कृत्योपथेन स्वैरं विहरतां हिंसा विहाराणां कर्माति दारुणं यद् ब्रह्मभूतस्य साक्षाद् ब्रह्मऋषि सुतस्य निर्वैरस्य सर्यभूत सहृद सर्वभूत सहृद सूनायाम अननुमत मालम तद उपलभ्य ब्रह्म तेज सातिर विषहेण दंदह्यमानेन वपुषा सहसा उच्चचाट सैव देवी भद्रकाली। All the rogues and thieves who had made arrangements for the worship of goddess Kali were low-minded and bound to the modes of passion and ignorance. They were overpowered by the desire to become very rich. Therefore, they had the audacity to disobey the injunctions of the Vedas, so much so that they were prepared to kill Jada Bharat, a self-realized soul born in a Brahmana family. Due to their envy, these dacoits brought him before the goddess Kali for sacrifice. Such people are always addicted to envious activities, and therefore they dared to try to kill Jada Bharat. Jada Bharat was the best friend of all living entities. He was no one's enemy, and he was always absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was born of a good Brahmana father, and killing him was forbidden, even though he might have been an enemy or aggressive person. In any case, there was no reason to kill Jada Bharat, and the goddess Kali could not bear this. She could immediately understand that these sinful dacoits were about to kill a great devotee of the Lord. Suddenly, the deity's body burst asunder, and the goddess Kali personally emerged from it in a body burning with an intense and intolerable effulgence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic injunctions, only an aggressor can be killed. If a person comes with an intent to kill, one can immediately take action and kill in self-defense. It is also stated that one can be killed if he comes to set fire to the home or to pollute or kidnap one's wife. Lord Ramchandra killed the entire family of Ravana because Ravana kidnapped his wife Sita Devi. However, killing is not sanctioned in the Shastras for other purposes.
The killing of animals in sacrifice to the demigods, who are expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is sanctioned for those who eat meat. This is a kind of restriction for meat eating. In other words, the slaughter of animals is also restricted by certain rules and regulations in the Vedas. Considering these points, there was no reason to kill Jadbharat, who was born in a respectable, highly exalted Brahmana family. He was a God-realized soul and a well-wisher to all living entities. The Vedas did not at all sanction the killing of Jadbharat by rogues and thieves. Consequently, the goddess Bhadrakali emerged from the deity to give protection to the Lord's devotee. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that due to the Brahman effulgence of such a devotee as Jadbharat, the deity was fractured. Only thieves and rogues in the modes of passion and ignorance and maddened by material opulence offer a man in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. This is not sanctioned by the Vedic instructions. Presently, there are many hundreds and thousands of slaughterhouses throughout the world that are maintained by a puffed up population mad for material opulence. Such activities are never supported by the Bhagavad school. So nicely, Srila Prabhupada relates the events that occurred millions of years ago, as recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to the current day situation. How Bhagavatam relates to us in this situation, in this day and age. Connecting the brutal attempt of slaughtering Jadbharat to the maddened civilization, puffed up, mad after sense gratification, which is trying to slaughter innocent animals in the name of doing welfare work. Sanatana Goswami writes in the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarva Shastrabhi Piyusha Sarva Vedaika Satphala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. There are eight conclusive glorifications, and one of them is, he says, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya. Srimad Bhagavatam is Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya. It is the mine. Adhya means mine. It is a mine of ratna, jewels. Srimad Bhagavatam is a mine which is full of jewels. Of what? Sarva Siddhanta. Of all conclusive truths. If you want to know what is the essential conclusion of the essence of politics, that's there in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the essence? What is the conclusive truth about administration? It's there. What is the conclusive truth about leadership? It's there. What about servitude, the attitude? It's there. What about managing things? It's there. What about psychology of people? It's there. The conclusive truths are there. Because Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by Vyasadeva, on the instruction of Narada, by kicking out all dharmartha kama moksha and establishing true dharma. By glorifying the Lord and his loving reciprocation with the devotees. So Bhagavatam deals with those devotees who understood the conclusion of the purpose of life. Prema pumartho mahan. And in different ages, they lived and reciprocated with the environment around them in a particular way. And by studying their activities in relationship with their environment at that time, one can understand how to do things.
and Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunav Saddharma Sansthapakav. And the great Mahajans, since time immemorial, have extracted the essence and presented the essence to the current population in a way that they can actually apply and practically experience the same thing that was experienced by Parikshit Maharaj 5000 years ago. That's the glory of parampara. Otherwise, sometimes people think it is mythological story. Bhadrakali coming out of something and killing. Come on, this is, you know, like. They can't relate. And therefore, Bhagavat is simply meant for some pious entertainment for those whose father has died and, you know, he also wants to get. Who are fearful. Who are like cat on the wall. They are not fully atheistic and not fully theistic. Chalo, kuch kar dete. Better to do something. In case God is there, let him also be satisfied. And therefore, practically no one can relate Srimad Bhagavatam. But Mahajano Yenagadasya Panthaha. If such personalities of the great Mahajans, Swayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kumaru, Kapilo, Manu, all these 12 Mahajans, were to live today, how would they have acted in a particular relationship with the world, current world? We don't need to speculate. By seeing the representative of those Mahajans in the parampara, one can actually understand how Bhagavatam, the essence, the conclusions, the Bhagavat school, as Prabhupada writes here, this is not approved by the Bhagavat school. Such activities are never supported by the Bhagavat school. So, that's the glory of presentation of the parampara. That's exactly what has revolutionized the misdirected civilization in this day by pure glorification of the Lord and its practical application in relationship with the world. That's the contribution of Srila Prabhupada. That essence has been presented in a way that we can relate. So, here the situation is these rogues and dacoits, in the name of doing a great pious activity of pleasing Bhadrakali, completely infused with the mode of passion and ignorance, are trying to seemingly do a very pious act, but they are actually doing it whimsically. It's nowhere recommended in the scriptures, and simply to become rich, simply to have some material opulence. So that mentality is systematically being criticized in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Okay, what is the first justification of killing? The first justification of killing is, if someone is an aggressor, one can kill. Arjun in the first chapter of the Gita said, Papameva ashraye dasman hatva etan adatayinah. It is said, Atatai means aggressors. Prabhupada writes in that purport, there are 6 kinds of aggressors. Number 1, if someone tries to poison you, feed you poison. Someone tries to set fire to your house. Someone attacks you with a very deadly weapon. Someone tries to pollute or kidnap your wife. Someone tries to plunder one's riches, or someone tries to grab the land. For such people, aggressors, one should actually kill. It's justified. And there is no sin by killing such a person. But Arjun's case was different. Arjun was thinking, that's okay, you know, those kind of aggressors are okay, but these are my grandfather, my father, my relative, uncle, matrun, bhatrun, putran, pautran, sakhinstatha. All are my relatives on both sides. So what is the point in killing? I don't want to kill. And I don't want to enjoy that facility thereof. Therefore, even if it is there in the injunctions, I'm not interested. I don't want to kill. Because of saintly behavior. But Prabhupada says, it does not befit him. As a Kshatriya, it does not befit him. If Sudama were there on the battlefield, that would have befitted him and walked away. But not for Arjun. And the example given there is Lord Ramchandra, whose wife was kidnapped by this demon Ravanam. And Prabhupada writes, Lord Ram taught sufficient lessons unparalleled in the history of mankind. How to do thorough job. So, killing there is justified. Otherwise it is not justified. No whimsical killing. Jadabharat was not at all an aggressor. Poor fellow was just sitting in one corner. They just caught him. Another kind of killing is justified of animals for meat eating. But even there, very, very specific rules and regulations are there. Under those conditions, following those scriptures, you can kill. And not kill human beings. Kill animals, specific animals, on specific days, under specific rules and regulations, for specific purpose, that is only of eating, that's all. Otherwise, it is not at all justified. But these people, these rogues and thieves, in the name of worshippers of Kali, in the name of doing a very holy religious act externally, were doing an activity which was whimsical and which was exclusively for material sense gratification. And therefore, Bhadrakali reacted very severely. And not even an ordinary animal, not an ordinary human being, but a great exalted personality, pure well-wisher of all living entities, a pure-hearted soul, was being sacrificed. How could she tolerate? So Prabhupada writes so nicely, presently, actually one should look, Bhurijan Prabhu says, one should look for these specific instructions that Prabhupada writes in the purport. And one should extract that. While reading the purport, Bhagavat will become interesting only when you dive deep. Because those who don't know how to extract gold, if they go to, or how to extract diamond, if they go to Kimberley in Africa, they won't make out ordinary piece of glass from that. Only those who know the art, how to extract things from the mine, they can extract out the essence and polish it and make it actually glorious and present it for the appreciation of the layman. Similarly, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno, the Goswamis and their followers, sincere followers, they are Nipuno, they are experts in extracting the conclusive truths from this timeless message of the Srimad Bhagavatam and present it to the current population in an easily understandable way, in an interesting and suitable manner. That is the glory of parampara. And as long as we are not in touch with bona fide parampara, we can't appreciate. And even out of piety, if we appreciate, we can't relate. And even if by chance we are able to relate, we will not be able to practically apply it in our day-to-day lives. So Prabhupada writes so nicely, how does this age-old pastime that occurred when Bhadrakali broke open from that deity and slaughtered these rogues and thieves who were trying to, in the name of pleasing her, trying to please their own desires and hidden motives. He says, only rogue thieves and rogues in the modes of passion and ignorance are maddened by material opulence, offer a man in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. At least 500 years ago, this would have been applicable. But now we don't, hardly people worship Kali. So how does it apply today? He says, presently, there are many hundreds and thousands of slaughterhouses throughout the world that are maintained by a puffed up population. By a puffed up population. Puffed up by what? It's like if you put a rice on the fire, then it gets puffed up. So, puffed up with pride. And what is their pride? Their pride is, we are controlling material nature. We have understood and analyzed material nature, and we can manipulate material nature and get whatever we want. In Japan, there is an endeavor to make watermelons square watermelons, so that they can store properly in the this one, and square tomatoes, so that they can store it properly in the vans. Otherwise, you know, like, Krishna is a fool, you know, he's created some way, he didn't understand today's current situation. So because they understand something and they graft and they play around with material nature for some time, sometimes mother allows their children to do their nonsense. But just because she allows, this foolish child thinks he can do anything, and then he gets a slap. So, just because they've been able to break atoms and do something, just fiddle around with material nature foolishly, for some time, they think that they are the controllers. And they disregard the scriptures, which are universal fundamental laws established by the Creator for the well-being of humanity. That is whimsical. That is puffed up. That is being puffed up. You're so puffed up that you think, I can control everything. I'm the controller proprietor. I don't need. There's no necessity of another controller. So, by a puffed up population, mad for material opulence, they want to make this material world Sukhalayam Shashvatam. They are convinced that is madness. What is madness? A madman doesn't know what is what. So someone in this Dukhalayam Ashashvatam, which is meant for a particular purpose, wants to establish against the will of the Lord Sukhalayam Shashvatam. It is a mad endeavor. It's useless. It won't help. So he says, a puffed up population mad for material opulence. Such activities are never supported by the Bhagavad school. So somebody may say, where is Durga? Why is she not bursting out of the DT and killing? She's actually doing it. Because they are so dull, they can't see it. But material nature, Durga, is slapping them right and left. They are experiencing. So many people are committing suicide. She is putting the sword from inside, making him jump from building. She doesn't have to do it. They are not killing such exalted people like Jadbhara, so she doesn't have to personally come. She has so many her agents. Maya aparta jnana. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya aparta chetasam. Because of Bhogaishwarya, Maya goes inside the scientist's heart and turns the right button. And this fellow becomes her agent. And he does all this, produces before us, and we take it and we commit suicide willingly. So much opulence, but why is there so much anxiety, so much misery, so much frustration? That's the slap of Maya. Mother Nature supplies everything for the pleasure and satisfaction of the Supreme Father. And when the mother sees that the children are exploiting her and disregarding the father, she reacts. She has to do it. And therefore we find what kind of reactions are coming.
life is miserable. Everything is topsy-turvy. This is the reaction of Mother Nature. So she is going to react. And of course, if this society becomes so mad to offend sincere well-wishers of the people at large, then the reaction is going to be much great. As long as it is some innocent living entities, innocently she is killing now. But if it goes to the extent of, if it becomes so demoniac that they systematically propagate to curb wherever glorification of God is done, a systematic propaganda to curb the activities of great exalted Vaishnavas, then material nature will also react very, very severely. We find in Bombay, this incident happened a few years ago. Prabhupada wanted to properly establish Radha Ras Bihari Mandir, and a person tried to exploit him and interfere with that plan. And Krishna reacted, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. She won't do anything. She is doing under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyati. And she reacted violently. And he got the reaction this man was trying to oppose. Jadabharat was a special case where he didn't. Because for himself he did not. But Srila Prabhupada was fighting for the benefit of all of us. Otherwise, if Jadabharat had so many people under him and they were being killed, probably he would have reacted. But for himself, he did not really worry. It's like Prabhupada had heart attacks. He didn't really worry about that. You know, he just went on with his duty. But when preaching efforts, which is the will of the Lord, mission of the Guru, that is being disrupted, then to just keep quiet is not non-violence, but it is cowardliness. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
We hear these statements from the scriptures about different aspects of life, and generally it is said that the difference between what the materialistic people are giving, the scientists and the scriptures, is that scriptures don't change. What they say is truth. Whereas what are the scientists, they are saying, it keeps changing over a period of time. Now, scriptures say certain things, like somebody asked me this question. There are three things at least which are exactly contrary to what we observe in outside world. And these three statements are regarding women. Like one statement is that women are less intelligent than men. Now we see that in most of the exams everywhere women do better. Even in devotee circles also, when we have some exams or things like that, they get more marks. Second thing is, it is said that women are more lusty than men. But we see that it is the men who are doing all the molestations and all the wrong things in the society. And third is, it said that women have a bigger, more appetite than men. That also has been proved wrong. So, how do we understand this? Like, because it's exactly opposite of what we see in the day-to-day life. So,
you are treading on a minefield. I am not an expert in detecting mines and any callous on my part will blow up some minds. I am not a Mahajan, but Prabhupada did speak, but when he saw that it was not being properly received, he just neglected. He said, I refuse to comment on it anymore. He also said that all these statements applies to you. He told, I think,
Govinda Madhupurusham kon gai? Jamuna Mataji, when she asks, he says, yes, it all applies to you if you think you are a woman. So, every soul in a particular kind of a body has a particular nature. And when it is properly engaged, when an entity, what is material nature? What is this nature? Nature is the subtle body. And what is Varnashram? Varnashram is properly being engaged according to their subtle body and their nature, propensities. So, different people have different inclinations and propensities according to the particular type of body they have got. So, if they are properly engaged according to their kind of inclinations and propensities, they can contribute the best to the society and they also feel satisfied. This is the essence. So, different people have different roles. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given, he refused this. He says the Eho Bahya. Eho Bahya means it's not actually the ultimate purpose of life. But, and Prabhupada writes in one particular, I think another book, Ramananda Rai, this is before he published and established ISKCON, Ramananda Samvad, he written a book. In that he writes, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected? Because today, there is no proper Varnashram. Everything has gone so topsy-turvy, so much mixed up between Varnas and Ashramas. There is actually nothing existing. Therefore, Mahaprabhu rejects these things and just says pure Krishna consciousness. But after following Krishna consciousness, slowly, 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 and purification of existence takes place. And then, you know, once natural propensities can be properly engaged, and you become happy and satisfied. This is the essence. And as regards Samanand Prabhu, would you like to comment? He's a scholar. Please get the mic. At least your thoughts on this matter. What are your heartfelt feelings?
It is true that these statements are made by Prabhupada, and we should also understand the background in which he has used them. We never find any of Prabhupada's female disciples holding that against him for making a gender-specific remark or not giving enough love. So, the problem actually arose when these statements were used by some personalities who didn't have that feeling, that compassion, and it was used as a lever to manipulate. You're getting what I'm saying? Case in point is one statement where Chanakya Pandit says, Rupavati Bharya Shatru, a beautiful wife is your enemy. So devotees ask Prabhupada, is it true? And Prabhupada laughed and said, he said, possibly Chanakya Pandit didn't get one or or maybe he was spurned by someone. So, in that anger he made that. Now he's a strict moralist. We don't take Chanakya Pandit in the same league as Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. At the same time, these are observable traits in human behavior, and they should be given that much importance that it is due. The only thing is, it should be handled by a very, very competent person. Tomorrow, if you and me go on throwing these statements, as he has already put it, it's like a minefield. We will ruin ourselves. We may just look as very bigoted, very narrow-minded people, and actually it has been used to manipulate. So we also can see how much importance these statements deserve and in what context. The social situation is also of importance. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was doing his preaching, he also could see the social milieu, the social situation, and he gave due importance to something, and some situations, some shastric statements were just practically ignored. The Chaitanya Bhagavat talks of the female disciples, female followers of Lord Chaitanya. Every Chaturmas, the whole group would come from Gaudadesh to visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And the Chaitanya Bhagavat clearly states that all his female followers, none of them would even approach Lord Chaitanya, even for offering obeisances. Everything would be done from a far distance. And they were not at all inferior to the male disciples or followers in bhakti and in knowledge both. So it is not true that they were said, oh, women are very bhavuk, very sentimental. So they might be seen to be very given some importance as regards bhakti. But the Bhagavad, Chaitanya Bhagavad says, no, regarding knowledge also, they were as competent as their husbands. The only thing was the social system at that time dictated they would not be giving pravachans, they would not be giving lectures or being advertised as big preachers. But that didn't prevent them from getting that knowledge. So it is also strongly advised that if you and me are in a situation where making this kind of statement would betray a little bit of personal pride or whatever, it shows. It will stop our compassion, it will stop our understanding of the situation. Another thing which is like the guideline, one devotee came to Prabhupada and said, in your Krishna book it is said that Ugrasen had 4 quadrillion bodyguards. At that time, how can so many people fit in Dwarka alone? So Prabhupada said, fine, if you don't understand that, don't preach that. That means he was saying, I am not going to compromise something just because you don't understand it. You preach according to your realization. He said, of all the statements, you only found that one to preach to some professor who couldn't understand that. You couldn't talk of the sociology which is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. You can talk of psychological tools and methods which can make your life comfortable now. You can talk of meditation. You can talk of other ways of improving. So these things are to be considered. Only then we will have, and certainly we will have some kind of truths everywhere, but the acharyas decide which statement needs to be given that importance or that penetrating ability. In the hands of any callous preacher, it's like a recipe for disaster. Maybe our Varada Krishna Prabhu would like to add something.
Can pass the mic.
Thank you. I've heard that Prabhupada towards the end has also mentioned a few times that in the West it's not justified anymore to apply the Vedic model of discriminating between men and women. Prabhupada has said repeatedly that here women do everything. Women are capable of doing everything, and they're quite actually equally competent. So I don't quite know that, given that Prabhupada has already made statements like that, whether you can apply what has been said, you know, cookie cut and apply, cut and paste and apply. This is what I was thinking. But if you look at the scripture, I think there are statements which attack men folk themselves, you know, also. What he has done, what Prabhu has done, is he's picked some statements which describe women. But I think there are portions where men folk also have been, you know, categorized as being, you know, in a similar way, they have also been described. So I think if we do selectively reading, you know, sometimes we end up with situations like this. But I just want to say that Prabhupada has balanced it quite efficiently by saying that women are competent, and I think that way, if you look at it, probably ISKCON can take credit for being an extremely progressive on this in this matter as well, in accommodating women in roles which are purely based on their competence. So we are pretty competence driven in that sense. I think we are moving in that direction. Thank you.
Actually, the life of a person, Bhagwat, reveals the essence of book Bhagwat. So he spoke the book Bhagwat, but his actions reveal, if you see how he dealt, how he actually respected, yet what he allowed, what he did not allow, living in the ashram, a brahmachari ashram he created, giving them Brahman Diksha. This actually shows that he considered them equal in this certain regards. But also this balance, proper balance of, that's why, as I, you know, you need a book or a person, Bhagavat. Gya Bhagavata padho Bhagavata sthane. So if you want to study Bhagavat, hear from a person, Bhagavat. As a fact, we see that. Not only did he live, not only did he speak, but if you see his life in terms of administrating, you know, we wonder how Yudhishthir Maharaj administered the whole planet Earth effectively, efficiently. He was one man, but he was running a whole show, international organization. How he was empowering, yet at the same time everyone was obedient, subordinate, lovingly. He was extracting the, you know, their love, inspiring everyone, empowering everyone, guiding everyone, and simultaneously, you know, aloof. Attached to the whole thing, but yet aloof. So in every aspect, actually, if you read the life of Srila Prabhupada, you know, many, many people have become inspired more than ISKCON after reading the life of Srila Prabhupada. One fellow who is more in the political kind of circle. So he was, you know, kind of telling about this. But, ISKCON is okay, philosophy is okay. But when he read the Prabhupada Leelamrit, he became very inspired. So actually you can see how a person acts particular. Then you know the essence of these statements. principle behind the detail. These are details. And it's amazing. In some purports, according to that purport, he gives that. I mean, according to the Shastra, I mean, according to that verse, he gives that purport. When Urvashi says that, you know, women are very sly, fox-like, exactly true to that purport, he gives that mentality. But then when, Diti and Aditi, conversation, Diti's conversation with her husband, and then when she says it's like a fort, you know, woman is like a fort and a person is very safe, and he gives amazing, very glorious qualities is being brought out. In the first canto, when he glorifies Draupadi and chastity, he brings out that aspect. So, that's a broader, if you want to understand the whole broader, that means the whole perspective you have to get. All the details, then you can arrive at a principle in a mature way. If you just take off one offhand, one detail, and kind of, as he said, if the purpose is like using it like a lever to manipulate, then it spoils the whole thing. Okay. Thank you very much. That's the advantage of having scholarly, world-wise pundits in the Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nithai Gaur Premanandi.